if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 325. This is our 2024 BMW PGA Championship Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's Wentworth action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Visit our world-famous golf betting system website where we have in-depth betting preview for the BMW PGA, pulled together by Paul. We've got Wentworth strokes gained rankings, form stats, plus, of course, new and old predictor models. All of that content, all of that data is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall. On X, you can reach Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. If you're on the property Friday, it wouldn't be a bad idea to be following us on X, because Paul and I will be there if you want to meet up. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. We are out of reviews. This is the last one we have. So this segment next week will be very interesting if we don't receive any reviews. So if you could just spare 30 seconds, that'd be much appreciated. Right, this one is entitled Great People, Great Info. 5 stars. These guys know their stuff. Consistently great course breakdowns, good picks, and tons of useful information. This podcast should be part of everyone's golf DFS or betting research. Not to mention, they are humble people, which is rare to find in the golf betting content community filled with egos. Thanks for all you do, guys. And that is from Phoenix 412-1030 in the US of A. Phoenix, thank you for your time.
Brilliant. Thanks, Phoenix. It's quite a humbling sport, isn't it? So humble is probably the way to go.
There's always plenty of humble pie. Undoubtedly. I have to say, though, last week at the Amgen Irish Open, I think we were all pretty much all around it. We just didn't pick the winner. Congratulations, Paul. Was it 200-1 on Daniel Brown? You got a full each-way place?
Yeah, Brown was 200-1. Yeah, finished fourth in the end. But Barry was on Brown as well. So nice little pick up for you there as well, Barry. So
yeah.
Good stuff.
I probably wouldn't have gotten to Brown unless you'd mentioned him. So thank you. That was a nice one to catch.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, yeah. Given what he'd done at the Open, it was worth taking a chance on him, I think. Mm. Even with some really seemingly poor form coming into that event, but it just seems that something about Lynx golf makes him come alive at the moment. So certainly was one for the notebook in that respect, and one for the notebook for the future similar kind of events. I presume
he'll be playing the Dunhill Lynx in a couple of weeks.
Mm. Yeah, and that's the kind of event that tends to produce repeat strong performers, does it? Joachim Lagergren springs to mind as a player who can often, or has often, popped up there from seemingly no form and then produced another top five finish and then disappeared again. So, yeah, certainly one to keep in mind for that. And you'd expect him to still be a decent enough price, wouldn't you? He's not one of those that gets hammered by the bookies by the looks of it. But yeah, Brown, Bob McIntyre, full each way place as well. You got Jordan Smith as well, Barry. So he was a juicier price as well, wasn't he?
I've got Alex Fitzpatrick in tied ninth, the worst place on the board.
Yeah, but he's...
He's playing good golf.
Been there. Yeah, he is playing good golf. He's been there.
I'm tempted on him this week. On him this week.
Yeah.
66s, I believe, right now.
But as you say, Rasmus, I don't think he was particularly popular in the betting, certainly You know, I could very reasonably quickly look past him last week, but that's another win. That's a fifth win for him now on the DP World Tour. Yeah. And another one where he's come from pretty way off the pace on a Sunday to post a score and win. And, well, pole position now for that that PGA Tour card. He's sitting in second in the race to Dubai.
That win's got him onto the PGA Tour, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's annoying. I said it in 3:23 when I put him up into the Betfred British Masters. He was there or thereabouts.
Mm.
And of course, I don't back him up the week after, and he goes and wins.
Yeah.
It's because he disappointed you the week before, so you had to punish him by putting him on the bench.
Mm.
I'll actually go through those qualification spots. Rasmus Højgaard is now number one in terms of getting a PGA Tour card for next year. Tristan Lawrence, Jesper Svensson, Sebastian Soderberg, Niklas Norgaard. It's like a Viking invasion over into the onto the PGA Tour. We've got Matteo Manasera after last week. Rikuyu Hoshino, Romain Langasque, Guido Migliozzi and Frederic Lacroix is holding on to the 10th spot. Right in the slipstream, Lauri Kanter, Tom McKibben, Jordan Smith, Nacho Elvira. Top 14 on the rankings as we stand heading into Wentworth with huge points on offer this week in Surrey.
Yeah. You can see Rasmus holding his own over in the States, but some of those names as you go down that list, yeah, they do fill me with a little bit of fear as to how they would actually fare over on the PGA Tour. But then, you know, Matthew Pavon this year, he's gone, yeah, and
he'd probably, you know, said the same thing.
Yeah, he's gone there and excelled, so you know, give these guys the benefit of the doubt. But it's certainly going to be a lot of action over the next few weeks, because there's some big big prizes coming up, some big points, and there's going to be a lot of movement in those rankings. Interesting times. What did you think of the course last week, Barry? Did it play as you expected?
It was incredible. Yeah. Just like the times I've played it there, it plays firmer than it looks. So it comes across very green, but there's some bounce in that place, and it's it was an absolute treat to watch it. I got as much of it in as possible with life going on, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah,
I just thought it was an amazing test, and I love how it forces strategy by the design of the holes. So, I mean, strategy might be having to not, you know, it takes the driver out of your hand, but it starts to make you think, like, how much can I threaten getting close to this trouble to shorten my second shot? So that's part of your thinking, like, how much risk do you want to take? And there's just so much going on and calculating how to play that golf course, and you can see it in how the players are playing it, and that's so much more engaging for us as fans, instead of seeing them just hit 14, 15 drivers around, depending on the course.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely agree. Great test. Really, really good test for the players. You know, as we expected it to be, but it's good when that all comes to fruition. A bit of help from the weather gods at various points to keep it all, to get the players all honest. But, you know, nothing less than we would expect it. Another one that's slipped through Rory's fingers, though, really.
Yeah.
When you
it's just hard to talk about it, isn't it? I can't even imagine how he gets up in the morning after taking these hammer blows.
Mm.
And they seem to more and more coincide with somebody else getting plenty of luck and him making a couple of mistakes, and those two having that Venn diagram circle, which ends in him experiencing the pain and somebody else getting the win. I mean, not to take anything from Højgaard, he took advantage of situations and luck, but he did have quite a large slice of luck on Sunday to getting to that score that he made.
Yeah. You can't rely on holding out to give you the score that you compile, but equally that is the game. You know, how many times have we seen a Jordan Spieth go and hole out from everywhere and win a golf tournament, and you kind of just accept that that's Spieth, that's what he does. He finds a way to do it. But bogey on 15 was a killer, wasn't it? 17, the three putt was just left in that. To be fair, that was a hell of an effort to try and make the eagle on the last, but just
unreal, 1 inch from it.
Yeah,
I think the mistake on 15 is the worst of all, because he has so much space to the left, and he just saw Manassero hit to the safe part of the green. They all know that's one of the toughest holes, and missing right is almost certainly a bogey. I think that's the biggest mistake. Like, you can make a mistake with pace putting on 17. Like, you're going up a hill onto a plateau, which are difficult putts, and then it runs away a little bit. So those are hard putts to judge. And that can happen in real nervous and tight moments. But the one on 15, he shouldn't have been anywhere near that. And that put him under a bit of pressure then.
Yep. Yep.
So it's just, it sucks. And it's like, he's probably the only golfer that we get this excited and this invested in, because it is always so dramatic. And then he goes and does what he does on 18 to like give you that hope. And you're like, here it comes. It's going to be amazing. And then just that little top edge. I'd say the millimeters, it's probably not a whole lot of millimeters in the putts that some of the putts that Rory's hasn't made this year. Could have turned, into a multi-winning mega season.
This is it. He's actually won three times if you tally up everything, but he could have doubled that quite easily, couldn't he? And if things have gone his way.
There's only one player at the moment that makes winning look easy, and that's Scottie Scheffler, isn't it? Everyone else, they have to work seriously hard to get over the line.
Yeah.
And then Scottie just cruises to these victories, and it's like, easy. Does make you wonder. Over in the States, we had a win for Patton Kizzire, 250-1 on Monday prices. It was the biggest I saw.
Wow.
He was 132nd on the FedEx Cup. His form in was miscut 8th. I never had Patton down as a Poana guy, really. But he literally lapped the field, didn't he? Never in much danger. I think a couple of birdies, maybe a bogey's around the turn. And David Lipsky was within two. But the one that I looked at within the guys that finished top three or four that I should have picked but didn't, he was all over my stats, was Patrick Fishburn, 70-1. That'd have got me out of the week level on an each-way punt. But, If only Sir Heath could have made a couple of birdies on Sunday, would have been there or thereabouts. But a bit quiet with the putter, Sir Heath. But yeah, Patton Kizzire, his third PGA Tour victory. Pretty much came from nowhere.
250s, yeah.
David Lipsky was 400-1 in second.
Yeah. It's just one of those events, isn't it, where you've got a couple of guys who are presumably very poorly backed and poorly supported, and they're running away with a golf tournament. But yeah, fair play to him.
There's been flashes with Kizzire. I know I put him up at the 3M Open. What was that? That's within a month or just 5-6 weeks back. So there's been the odd flash, but yeah, miscut form in wasn't filling you with much enthusiasm. It had to be said. Yeah, we move on to the Sanderson's Farm. That's in a couple of weeks' time on the PGA Tour, post-President's Cup, which is next week. So let's focus on the biggest week of the golfing calendar. Of course, it's the BMW PGA Championship down in Surrey. Paul and I will be doing our usual crusade. First train out of where we live on Friday morning, straight into Waterloo, straight to McDonald's. It's a healthy lifestyle we live, isn't it, PW?
Yeah. Just have one of those off days.
Get one of those sausage and egg McMuffins that get smaller each and every year.
That's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah, that's true. And then the walk to the walk from the station to the premises. And there we will be on the first tee, about 9 o'clock. We'll have just missed the marquee groups. And we'll be watching, I don't know, someone like Alex Fitzpatrick drive. And off we wander around the beautiful Wentworth Club. Barry was there last year, weren't you, Barry? But unfortunately not this year. Hopefully you can get across for 2025.
Schedule clash, yeah.
There is a rumour that we might be coming to you as well for the Irish Open next year, but we'll work the details through on that one. That's at the K Club, I believe. Is that correct, next year?
K Club, yeah. So it should be... they've redone it. It's beautiful. It's no Royal County Down, but, you know, get over, we'll have some beers and a good time watching the golf.
Sounds
Paul,
good.
You have done your diligent, of course, work on the BMW this year. First question for you, what do you think, what kind of bookmaker offers are available for punters for the Blue Ribbon event on the DP World Tour this week? Have some of the bookmakers come up trumps this week with some decent offers?
Well, I guess given it's the only show in town, there's no excuse for the bookies to shy away from this one. And to be fair, they haven't. Ladbrokes and Coral are the standout in terms of their regular markets, both gone 10 places each way as standard 150 odds. But there's loads of 8-place options out there. Hills are 8 each way as standard. Bet365, Ball Sports, Betfred all have 8-place options available within their markets. So yeah, plenty of reasons to shop about this week and get yourself a good combination of prices and each way terms. Got to say, the Monday bun fight for odds on golf is just mad nowadays. I'm sure you guys have witnessed it as well, but as soon as the prices come up, the players getting absolutely backed off the boards, which it's madness. The fluidity in terms of the pricing early on a Monday, kind of early afternoon through to tea time, is just ludicrous. But that is the world we live in. Early bird punters are out there ready to attack the players that they want to be backing. So you have to be quick with your mouse or with your phone nowadays to get the prices that you want. But yes, plenty of options out there. Let's go through the market, actually. It's another quality field, you'd expect, on the back of last week, which was decent as well. We'll talk about the Spanish Open next week a little bit towards the end, but again, that's another absolute crackerjack coming up by the looks of it. Shorter field this week, though, 126. So there's slightly fewer than normal. We tend to be 144, that kind of number, I think.
Shorter days, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, although it's a similar kind of point in the calendar. So it must be a conscious reason why they've chopped it down a little bit. But it does mean that the last player in the field, as of yesterday, was Ross Fisher. And, you know, Fisher's a local guy and played there many, many a time. Personally and professionally, and you know, if that's the kind of player who's just sneaking into the field, then that gives you a feel as to how the quality of the field is panning out. But yes, the field or the markets, Rory 6-1 favourite this week, as you'd expect. Tommy Fleetwood 10-1, no bargain with Tommy. He's always priced at some pretty short level over
he's
on
never
the.
Never really done a lot at Wentworth, has he?
No, I counted 12 attempts, a couple of sixth place finishes, but yeah, for a 10-1 shot, you kind of want a little bit more than that, I think.
Yeah,
and Tom is not this kind of prolific winner either, is he? These are the kind of words that come back and bite us on the backside.
Oh no, he's going to win by six.
Yeah. But no, I agree. It's a little underwhelming, his record here. Adam Scott, 14-1, and being popular. Shane Lowry, 14-1, also being very popular. Billy Horschel back playing again, 20-1. Billy loves it here. Billy has had this little rib issue, which kept him out of the Irish Open last week. So word of warning there. But of course, beware the injured golfer. You never quite know. Bob McIntyre, Alex Noren, Aaron Rye, 22-1. 25-1 bar those, but you've got loads of players below that. Some, you know, some real quality. Benny Ann, last week's winner, Rasmus Højgaard, Matt Fitzpatrick, Siwoo Kim, as you mentioned last week, Steve.
Yeah.
Matt Wallace, Sepp Straka, all in attendance here. So plenty of quality as you dip down. And as you say, plenty of each way options as well to get your teeth into.
I think we've seen deeper fields, but I love the variety of this field, if you see what I mean. Clearly, we're missing Rahm. We're missing Hatton. We're missing Ludvig Åberg through injury. I'm surprised Victor's not playing. But, yeah. But, you know, I love the... You know, I look forward to watching a bit of Siwoo Kim. I've never seen him live in the past. There's, you know, you've got Ben Arne across. I think there's enough there to for the golf purist to go, you know, yeah, it's an interesting field. So I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
Yeah, well, those guys, and Adam Scott as well, of course, playing the President's Cup next week. So it's, you know, fine-tuning their games, I guess, ready for that next week.
Is that a negative for you, the fact that those three are jetting straight across to Montreal for the President's Cup? Do you think they're going to be over here with full focus on winning the BMW PGA? I mean, Scott is playing golf from the gods at the moment, what he did over in the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, I think had it not been for the President's Cup, and I won't go into my tips just yet, but had it not been for the President's Cup, I'd have been hard-pressed not to go with Adam Scott.
Yeah.
But that's kind of just put, and the same with Siwoo, same with Benny Ann, it kind of just puts the, you know, seed of doubt, I guess, in your mind that their focus, and the, you know, their focus will massively be on next week. Now, whether they come and kind of freewheel to a fantastic performance this week and, you know, prove that they've got an awful lot under the bonnet, we shall see. But yeah, if there was a single reason to strike the likes of an Adam Scott out of my staking plan this week, it was that President's Cup, I must say.
Yeah. Hasn't won since 2020. Genesis Invitational at Riviera.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, come close again, hasn't he? But, and as you say, playing some really good stuff. But, it's... I don't know. If it had been a bit of a longer price, you could have taken a chance on him, but his form isn't going to dictate a short price, so you're not going to get there. Let's talk about a course. West Course at Wentworth, as we know. Harry Colt original. A couple of Ernie Els redesigns in recent times, or relatively recent times, 2009 and 2016, which has kind of turned it back to a lot of the Harry Colt original concept, effectively. Opened a few of the fronts of greens up, removed a few bunkers, made it a bit more playable in general. It's a classical Parkland course, heather in places, bunkers as well, offer some protection from off the tee, a few water features as well. But ultimately, it's the trees and the, you know, the tree line fairways which give it its character, I guess. 7,267 yard par 72, and of course we've got the famous pair of par fives, 17 and 18, which close out the round. The greens were relaid as part of the 2016 renovation. They are now creeping bent grass. So they should still be pretty pure. I know as time goes by, particularly in that part of the world, the Poana tends to start to creep in. So it'll be interesting when we're there to see if it looks like that's happening at all. But for all intents and purposes, it will be predominantly bent grass, pure bent grass this week. Now, in terms of the weather, it looks warm and sunny on Thursday. Thursday looks like a cracking day, up to about 24 centigrade. So that's 75 Fahrenheit. Potential for some showers thereafter. So I think we're going to have to pack a rain jacket, Steve, on Friday, Thursday, on Friday, just in case. And then the weekend, and particularly Sunday. Sunday looks like it could be heavier, potentially thundery showers as well. So let's hope that doesn't impact play too much. But other than that, sunshine, a little bit of shower, the odd shower here and there, 10 to 15 mile an hour easterly for the first couple of days, and then lighter winds over the weekend. So 10 to 15 miles an hour around Wentworth does tend to ask a question. It's, you know, the wind whistles around those treetops there, and it does create a little bit of indecision with the players. So that's kind of what you want. You don't want it so overly brutal that the players are struggling around there, because it can turn it into a completely different type of test. But a little 10 to 15 mile an hour wind can ask some questions. So that should be exactly what we want, I think. Last 10 winners here, just to give you a flavour. 2014 was Rory McIlroy, 14 to 1. Benny Ann, 100 to 1 the year after. Chris Wood, 66 to 1 in 2016. 2017 was Alex Norren at 20 to 1. We were on Alex that week when he scythed his way through the field with that fantastic final round. 2018, Francesco Molinari, 22s. We're on Francesco Molinari as well that week. 2019, Danny Willett, 66s. Till Hatton won the year after, 2020. 2021 was Billy Horschel's year. You were on him that year, Steve, at 28.
I was.
2022 was the rain-shortened or weather-shortened event won by Shane Lowry. We were on Shane Lowry that year, 18 to 1.
We were.
And then Ryan Fox last year, 50 to 1. So, yeah, I think in general we've had some pretty good success here. So hopefully we can continue that week, this week, and find a winner. In terms of the winning score, last few events, 17 to 20 under has been the total since going back to 2018 when Francesco Molinari won. So it's been really quite consistent as the course has settled down since the most recent changes. I'd expect something similar again this week. I see no reason for it to be much deeper or much you know, much tighter this week or much tougher. So 17 to 20 probably gets you right in the contending positions down the stretch on Sunday afternoon. Statistically, it's been, always has been, a really good all-round test. I think really you just got to keep out of the trees, hit some greens, hit lots of greens, and scramble well around these parts. Minimise your bogeys as and when you can. Scrambling's interesting because if you go back to Alex Norren back in 2017, every one of the winners since has excelled in that department. So Norren was fourth for scrambling. Francesco Molinari was first. Willett was eighth. Hatton was first. Horschel was third. Lowry was first. And again, last year, Ryan Fox was third for scrambling. So if you're looking at the old school statistics, then make sure you take a peek at the scrambling stats, because that could be telling. And we do have strokes gained data as well for the last four renewals. And as Steve alluded to at the top of the show, they're all aggregated on the site, so you can have a view of the players who have performed best in each of the strokes gained categories around here over the last 4 years. Looking at the four winners, all four of them were top 20 for strokes gained approach. All four of them were top 10 for strokes gained tee to green. So the iron play effectively from those players was very, very strong. In fact, last year, eight of the top nine finishers all finished in the top nine for strokes gained tee to green. So if you're picking a strokes gained statistic to start with, strokes gained tee to green. If you're picking a traditional one, take a look at scrambling as well. Splice them together and see where that takes you, I think. In terms of current form, last five winners, each of them had a top 10 in one of their last five outings. Ryan Fox came in off the back of a third at the Irish Open the previous week. Lowry was 12th on his previous start. Billy Horschel was 7th on his previous start, which I believe was Eastlake. And then course form, I mean, if you go back all the way to Simon Kahn in 2010, every winner except Benny Ann, who was a debutant back in 2015, every winner had a previous top 20 finish here at Wentworth. So picking players who have some kind of form here at various points in the past, not a bad starting point, as is a recent enough top 10. So I think there's a lot to work with, and that's probably why we've had pretty good success here over the years. So without wishing to jinx anything, hopefully we can get a winner between us this week. I've gone for four this week. I've got one short one, and I'll bring you guys in then. Personally, I can't have Rory at 6-1. He could go and win this. You've got to expect him to be in contention as well, but he's just simply not getting over the line, is he? And for him at that price, that's a bit concerning, too concerning for me to take a chance on, I think. He will turn it around at some point. I think, though, if you're going to back Rory this week, it's almost one of those you've got to put all your eggs in one basket and just be done with it. And I'm not willing to go there personally. Tommy, 10-1. As we said before, no better than sixth here from 12 attempts. So, and it just doesn't win enough for me. Scott, 14-1. President's Cup next week was the kind of red line for me. So that's taken me back down to Shane Lowry, who we backed a couple of years back. And I'm quite happy to go back in and see if he can secure himself a second BMW PGA Championship title this week. He opened just at 18-1. And this going back to what I was talking about, the odds. 18-1 was the opening price with Lowry, and it's just been absolutely backed off the boards. 14-1 right now. And I suspect it will be 12-1 will be where he settles. So if you fancy a bit of Shane and you're still seeing 14s, then I would probably take that sooner rather than later. Otherwise, it will be being chopped, I suspect. Now, Shane, he was back home last week after a long old run in the US, going all the way through to Eastlake. So he had that on top of the Open and then the Olympics as well, which he put a lot into. And he admitted himself that his preparation for last week wasn't as good and as extensive as he'd have wanted it to be. He had family and friends commitments before the event, and it was feeling a bit jaded as well. So I think finishing 12th overall for Shane was a decent performance. He was really pleased with his driving. He was really pleased with his putting. 8th for scrambling. So all of those elements were really working nicely. His irons were off, but he knew his irons were off. He talked about it quite extensively, and he knows what he's got to focus on between now and coming into Wentworth. And he's turning up at a course that he absolutely loves and absolutely knows how to get around. So one year back in 2022, as we said, runner-up in 2014. He's got 3 further top sixes, 6 further top 20s. So Shane absolutely loves this place. I think with Shane, he's one of those players that when he's playing well, he kind of he articulates that quite well when he's talking about it in an interview. And he's making, for me, very similar noises now as he was in 2022 when he came in and won here. Sick for the Open Championship. We were on him, of course, and that could have been, it's only the Saturday that stopped him from winning that Open Championship. 13th at the BMW, 8th at Eastlake. In the 72-hole scoring leaderboard. So playing some decent stuff. All the distractions of last week gone. Home pressures all disappeared. And for me, if the irons do click this week, then he'll have a full set, a full armoury coming into Wentworth, which he absolutely loves. So quite happy to get involved with Shane Lowry at the top. As I say, 14-1 is the best that we're going to get right now. Now, my next one's 50-1. I've got a couple around that mark and then a 3-figure price. So I'll bring you guys in. Barry, you got any sub 50-1 plays this week?
I think Barry's muted his mic.
I did, beg your pardon. Okay. I'm weighing up a bit.
We thought you'd fallen asleep.
Between Manicero and Larry, and I think you've just kind of convinced me towards Larry. Just like looking at Manicero, he's been playing very well. And then looking at his Wentworth record, he's got that win. But then in the recent performances after that, he hasn't played in the last few years. But there's an inconsistency there. So I think I might jump off that and just take Shane. His record there is absurd. And it's just it's hilarious that Tommy Fleetwood's price is shorter than him. Yeah, it really is. So, I think I'm going to join you on Shane. And then, I don't think I have. My next one is 50-1, and I have placed that bet. So I'm kind of him and hawing if there's anything else in that gap between the top of the market and 50. But for now, no.
Very good. So that's both of us on Shane. Are you going to make it with Phil Austin?
Yeah, I'm on Shane. I think he's the most likely of the European team stalwarts to win this.
Mm.
The other thing with Shane is, hasn't won an individual event this year. Clearly he won with Rory at the Zurich team event. It just feels right that he'll just come and pick this. Yeah, blue ribbon, bit of DP World Tour event, start of the Ryder Cup qualification process. Feels right to me. And he's playing some great golf. Oh, and actually, when I'm looking at the strokes gained numbers. In this field, he sits third for strokes gained total. Behind Rory McIlroy and Billy Horschel. So there's a lot to like about Shane.
Yeah. He's playing some very nice stuff.
Apart from Shane, who's my next? This will come and bite me on the bottom, I know. But I do think that Justin Rose is playing some better golf. And Justin seems to have sorted his driver out, which has caused him all manner of trouble for the last couple of years. Inaccurate driving, poor driving. But actually, looking at his last three, British Open, he was second. He almost gained a stroke off the tee. Wyndham Championship, missed the cut, but still gained 0.8 off the tee. St Jude, he was positive again. He was 13th for tee to green last time we saw him at St Jude. He was only 22nd, but that was mainly a recalcitrant putter. I get the feeling with Justin Rose, you know, that he, with all of this fresh talent that's hitting Europe, you know, so much new talent or guys like the Højgaard twins who have been there or thereabouts. Clearly Nicolai got in the team last time. Rasmus is making a charge. Now he's going to be on the PGA Tour. Just saying that you are guaranteed a captain's pick next year for Justin Rose, especially at his age, I don't think that's correct anymore. I think he needs to put some genuine performances in. And actually, this week, when he's actually playing well tee to green, he was fourth for tee to green at the British Open. He was 13th at St Jude tee to green in a, you know, top quality 70-man field. I got the feeling that he might just have a half-decent week this week. So I managed, well, I'm on him now. I literally backed him this morning. 35-1 I got with William Hill on Justin Rose, 8 places each way.
Mm. Yeah,
I personally would rather take a Justin Rose at that kind of price than a Victor Perez or players of that ilk.
Yeah.
Clearly, just lives around the corner. So
he does, yeah. He's been lifting his game at these, you know, for him, what the bigger events, hasn't he, over the course of this year?
That's been majors in the main, but I think this is a big tournament. He doesn't play a lot of DP World Tour. The qualification process has just started. You know, I think things might just align, and Justin Rose actually plays, especially if that driver's good. It's not. You don't need to be long around here. You need to be straightish. And the driver seems a lot better. So, you know, the approach plays okay. And if the putter kind of works, I could see Rose being a feature near the top of the leaderboard. I'm not saying he wins, but I don't think 35-1, 8 places each way would be a bad each way bet on Rose this week.
No, I could see him in the mix. If you think Matt Wallace a couple of weeks back, Rasmus Højgaard last week, these guys are kind of fringy Ryder Cup, you know, hopefuls for next year, then the angle with Justin Rose isn't a bad one at all, I don't think. I've got to say, if there was a fifth player on my team, he was the one that was closest to making that. So yeah, can't
the one I'm
argue.
Shorter on is Alex Noren, 20-1. I think Noren, he was fifth or sixth heading into the BMW Championship final round. Last time we saw him on the PGA Tour, finished ninth. I think he bogeyed the last three. I'm not selling him overly well. But we've always said with Alex, doesn't win on the PGA Tour. He's come very close, but doesn't win. But for someone to be playing that kind of high-grade stuff in the, you know, in decent standard events at the end of last year, and then dropping down to the DP World Tour. I know it's the Blue Ribbon event, but it's still a drop down in terms of depth and quality. I could see Nuren coming back to Europe, and actually, we know that he does win a lot of events on the European Tour. I could see him going well as well this week, Alex Nuren. So I'm on him at 20-1.
Mm. Yeah, had a good year, Nuren, has he?
Yeah. Again, start the again with Nuren. He's fringy. He's one of these older guys that's gonna he's gonna have to make his mark to get a captain's pick or to qualify automatically to get into the Ryder Cup team. Mm. So this you know, you could see him being fully motivated and ready to go this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, similar argument to that of Rose, isn't it?
Yeah.
In that respect. Very good. Very good. I've got a couple of mid-price players around the 50-1 mark. Matthew Pavon at 50-1 I took with the Betfred 8-place market. 70-1 early doors if you were willing to take some of the lesser each-way terms. Yeah. Been backed in a little bit, and but yeah, for me, 50-1 still a decent price with the extended terms, because if you rank the players in this field, Pavon sits seventh in terms of the world rankings of all of the players in this field. Yet in terms of the betting, he's down kind of 20th in that kind of bracket. There seems to be a real disparity between his odds and his kind of perceived quality, I guess. Won the Spanish Open last year, defending that in Madrid next week. So, you know, he's got those vibes. I do like players coming into an event where they're defending the following week, because I think mentally their focus can, you know, it can be about the following week, and that allows them to freewheel a little the week before. So he could go well this week. Won the Farmers Open at Torrey Pines earlier in the year, as we talked about earlier, over on the PGA Tour. That's another classical course with bent grass, a mix of bent grass and bent power greens now over there at yeah. Torrey Pines. Fifth at Pinehurst for the US Open. That's another classical track and seems to be rounding into a little bit of form again. Had a poor Olympics, but since then, 46th at the St. Jude, 33rd at the BMW, 15th for 72 hole scoring at Eastlake, 4th for greens in regulation was the number that really caught my eye at Eastlake, and he's finished 9th here the year before last. So quite happy to go with Matthew Pavon. The other one in a similar kind of bracket was Laurie Canter, 55-1 with the 8 place option with Betfred as well. Won the European Open in Germany back in June, 16th in the race to Dubai at the moment. So if you work that through, as Steve said, he is the guy just on the edge looking in right now.
11th spot, yeah.
You know, has that chance. And we can talk about the politics of him being the next LIV player at some further point, should that ever be an issue. But right now he's sitting there as the next on the list of players who by rights would qualify for a PGA Tour card. So he should be fully focused on that, I think. Putter's been a bit flat since his win over in Germany, but he got a new bespoke Scotty Cameron in the bag last week in Ireland, and it nearly paid dividends straight away. He was second to halfway, finished 17th overall. But crucially for him, after some really flat weeks with a putter, or negative weeks, he gained more than half a stroke per day with a putter last week in Northern Ireland. So something clicked with that new putter, which is good to see. And he was runner-up here to Billy Horschel back in 2021. Played well that week. Perhaps he goes one better here this week. So Canter and Pavon as my two mid-price players.
Across Barry, our strokes gained rankings, Paul, he's first for approach at Wentworth, 8th for tee to green and 7th for strokes gained total. I know he's only played 6 rounds, but that clearly was a second and a missed cut. But I'm on Canter as well. It all seems to align for me for Laurie Canter.
Uh-oh.
Very good.
I'm also on him.
Oh, my God. There we go.
We're scarily aligned this week, boys.
Take the place. It feels like it feels like betting on the Masters. You just get gravitated towards particular golfers. It just seems like everything matches up quite nicely.
Good. Okay. All right.
Moving on from that awkward moment, I'm going to stick with Jordan Smith this week. I picked him up with at 50-1 with 10 places on Carl. Just if you could find anything with the putter, someone's like a European Scotty Scheffler light, tee to green, really good. Just needs that putter to be a bit better behaved. I don't have much more to say. I think the skill set matches the course very well, so I like the price. And this is the thing we've been waiting for, his price to drop out for so long. He was always 20, 22s, 18s, like we said last week, so hoping it can work again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There was, I'm just trying to find the statistic which really caught my eye with Smith last week, because you kind of assume that he's going to be one of these high greens and regulation players, and that tends to be his forte.
Usually it is, yeah.
You know, go on.
Just saying, it's tough last week to hit lots of greens. Bit of wind, they're tabletop greens, you know. And you're trying to avoid the real short side trouble spots, so you know it can. Yeah, it's quite easy to end up with lower greens and reg there.
Yeah, well, the number that really caught me was he led the field for scrambling. So coming into an event like this, where scrambling has been such an important statistic over the last few years, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, someone who's just performed in an event where. Well, A's finished and tied seventh, which is decent enough in decent quality, you know, surroundings. Mm. And secondly, coming into an event that theoretically should suit him from tee to green, but with his short game actually working, I couldn't put you off, Barry. Put you off.
Not the most stellar record around here. 13th is his best in seven attempts, 13th to 24th. And other than that, just non-competitive, really. So that's, I suppose, helpful to the price.
Yeah, but then again, a top 20 was all I was really looking for. Ryan Fox last year, his best was 20th coming into this. And
I'm going to quadruple my points per bet then on him.
Talked you into it. The only other one I've got is longer still. Adrian Ategui I've backed 150-1 with the 8 place option. Again, another one who opened at a mad price, 250 in places with bog standard each way terms. But it's been backed into a more realistic number now, I think. A real statistical eye catcher last week at Royal County Down. He led the field for accuracy, led the field for greens in regulation, fourth for strokes gained off the tee, third for tee to green, 5 times a DP World Tour winner now. One of those was at Valderrama back in 2022, where he won by 6 strokes in total. So can play tree line tests, as has been proven there. 17th last week, 13th here back in 2022. So similar kind of record that to Jordan Smith in that respect. I think Adrian Ategui could sneak a price or place even at a long price this week. So my 4, Ategui, Cantor, Matthew Pavon and Lowry. Any other longer prices from you, Barry or Steve?
One left. I'm going to take Connor Syme.
Hmm.
Of appreciation with that one, Barry.
Yeah, just playing some nice, okay golf, you know, 4 cuts in a row, 17th last week, and a 10th here last year. Just those kind of highlight figures just kind of grabbed my attention for a triple-digit shot. I actually took him at 90-1, 10 places, rather than 100-1, 8 places. Just get that extra little grab. You know, the win is kind of would be unexpected a little bit, but I can see definite potential for grabbing one of those places.
Yeah, it might be the right play, Barry, because tied ninth is, particularly with this, you know, the quality of the field ahead of him, you'd expect a few of these top names to fill some of those each way places. So yeah. One of those weeks where you may just have to suck it up a little bit, take a lower price and maximise your each-way places. But yeah, again, can't argue. He will get a win, Conor Syme, at some point. you know, I've been on him a few times and it's kind of let me down at the end for the win. But when you're getting a price like that, then yeah, if you get an each way place out of him, then that's as good as you could reasonably expect, I guess. Any others from you, Steve?
I'm tempted on Alex Fitzpatrick at 66-1, only on the basis that I backed him last week and he finished tied ninth. Mm. So I might just put £2 each way on him, 66-1. There's no one in that triple digit. The one that did actually jump was actually Sime. I think he's got some decent form and he kind of works. Just to throw out there as well, Mark Hubbard's in the field. Mm. And Peter Malnati. Is he getting a bit of PGA Tour, you know, kind of spice in there this week? The field had so much depth that the likes of Kevin Chappell and Henrik Norlander didn't make it. Did you notice Jimmy Walker getting a top 10 last week at the Irish Open?
Yeah, flying finish on Sunday, didn't he?
Yeah.
That was great for him. Really nice.
Brant Snedeker got a decent finish the other week, didn't he, at the Czech Masters? So some of these older sorts that are coming over and playing DP World Tour, getting some half-decent results, which is something just to keep an eye on for further down the line. But yeah, I think that's about it for me.
It does show the levels, doesn't it, when these guys come over and are doing next to nothing or nothing on the PGA Tour and then... can still rack up a performance and a finish over on the DP World Tour.
You'd have to look at the character of the courses they go well on over here as well, requiring a little bit of, you know, experience, nous, versus what they have to, you know, face over there, which is just bomb the ball miles and
shoot 24 under par.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair point.
No, I get that. Are there any players on that board that you look at and you just think, I just couldn't back them at that price? Or, you know, if we've got some American listeners that are doing a bit of DraftKings or whatever they're playing this week, Paul, are there any players there you'd be slightly wary of that they're going to be paying a big price for?
Well, yeah.
Anything there that you might warn against? I mean, I don't think Aaron Rye's been playing that well since he's won.
No, and you know, if you look at it from a betting perspective, the prices are pretty prohibitive for some of those guys at the top, as we talked about.
Mm.
But you could still see a Tommy Fleetwood finishing in the each way places, couldn't you? You could still see, you know, an Aaron Wright, Adam Scott, if he finished seventh or fifth, you wouldn't bat an eyelid.
No, of course not.
Just flipping that on its head, the one other long price that I came close to was Richie Ramsey.
Mm.
And Ramsey's been on and off playing some nice stuff. Finished third a few weeks back and has a record. If you look at his record coming into this, and we're talking more from a DFS perspective, I guess. His last, eight attempts at Wentworth, hasn't missed the cut. 43rd, 30th, 35th, 6th, 20th, 57, 28th. And, you know, he's way down the betting board. I haven't looked to see what his DK salary is, but he'll be low 6,000s, I expect. And you're getting potentially a cut maker there who has been playing some good stuff.
That's really now, good.
The danger with Ramsey is he does have this on-off back issue and... you know, he could come into it and it could have an issue and you know, doesn't complete the four rounds. The flip side is he goes out there and he's your pivotal or your pivot play and finishes in the top 10, top 15 and, you know, is one of those spots that you can fill that really does reward. It could be a risk-reward play, that one, potentially.
Of our strokes gained rankings that you diligently pull together for Wentworth, he is only one of four players that's played the top amount of rounds, which is 19. Shane Lowry, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood and Richie Ramsey. Mm. And Ramsey ranks 15th across the full field for strokes gained total around here, which across 19 rounds is a decent performance, very strong performance. So, yeah, from a DK perspective or from an outsider perspective, he's not a bad bet, is he? The other one that's jumping out at me is Shubhankar Sharma, who's in the top 20 for strokes gained total around Wentworth. He's played 18 rounds. So there are these little nuggets in this field that are consistent around here and play reasonable golf every time they turn up.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, I like those angles. I take it you'll be all over DK this week, Paul.
Yeah, it's one of those weeks that you can really attack it. So yes, I've reserved myself a number of teams so far. So that'll be a job for Wednesday to fill those up and give it a go.
Our movements, Paul. We're telling people we're going to be around the 10th tee. What's the word I'm looking for? Hospitality area,
hospitality,
aren't we?
Yeah,
around about lunchtime.
Yeah, I expect, as you say, we'll kind of get there 9 or 30, probably, I guess.
We might get there if we're lucky. It depends if we can get past the fifth fairway hospitality.
So yeah, we tend to walk the front nine in the morning, stop for some light lunch and
if I remember correctly, Barry stopped us from going in there last year. Literally, he's like stopping me, he's pulling me round the shoulder, Steve. You know, Steve, let's go and watch some golf.
Steve, it's 10 past 10.
Yeah.
Steve has a terrible case of laziness and attraction to beer, but I wanted to walk with the drink and have an actual look at the golf. So.
Yeah. Guilty, my lord.
You could just go find a deck chair this year, that I won't be there to badger you.
No. But yeah, yes. we'll be around that 10th tee. It's the par 3, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah, between the 10th tee. Sorry, between the 10th pin and the 11th tee in that kind of area. So yeah,
off to the left, you've got the recreational hospitality area. We'll be standing around there somewhere with a pint in our hand.
Yeah, so yeah, if you spot us, you'll spot Steve first rather than me because of his height. So yeah, pop over and say hello. Please do.
That's where we'll be. I hope your bets go well, chaps, this week.
Yeah, best of luck, guys.
You too, boys.
Next week, Paul, we've got a very... You're saying it's a decent field over in Spain for the Open de España, is that correct?
It is, yeah. So, you know, after all of the shenanigans with John Rahm, he is in the field right now for next week. Tommy Fleetwood, Shane Lowry in the field as well. Tyrrell Hatton from another Liv angle. David Puig also coming over from Liv. Patrick Reed from Liv as well. So quite a lot of those guys have managed to sneak into the field. And then a pretty strong regular attendance from the DP World Tour players. We've got some Matt Wallace playing as well. A real cracker by the looks of it over in Madrid. Look forward to that one.
We look forward to it. I hope the listeners' bets and DK teams go well. And we will be back next week for that Open de España. See you again soon. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.